time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School, listening to that old chime while we're on our field trip. That means we're really recording these lessons at a remote location. But this is the Warren County Radio Bible School, the one that is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And we're studying about Peter preaching to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. And this is where there was a vision. This is the angel of God coming to Cornelius. Let's read about this vision from Elam's notes as we get further into this Sunday school lesson. It says, "He saw a vision openly, as it were about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming unto him. The first step taken in bringing this man to Christ was the appearance of an angel, as in the conversion of the eunuch. Although in the eunuch's case, the angel appeared to the preacher, and in this one, to the man to be converted. Yet the mission of the angel was the same in both cases, namely, to bring the preacher and the men to be converted together. Visions and angels and even the appearance of Jesus himself did not set aside the necessity of human agency. Philip must go to the eunuch, Ananias to Saul of Tarsus, and Peter to Cornelius. Jesus had committed this matter of preaching the gospel and telling people what to do to be saved to the apostles. And this is what he meant when he said, 'Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.' Matthew 16 and verse 19. 'And whosoever sins ye forgive, they're forgiven unto them. Whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained.' John 20:23. The apostles could bind and loose or forgive and retain sins only in so far as they were commissioned to preach the conditions of pardon or salvation. God forgives those who do what the apostles teach, and retains the sins of those who refuse to do so. The apostles were his ambassadors, and to them was committed the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:17-21. The majority of religious teachers ignore this fact today and scorn the idea of human agency, while not a few claim to be ambassadors of Christ. Cornelius, fastening his eyes upon the angel and being affrighted, said, 'What is it, Lord?' Cornelius feared in the presence of the angel and wanted to know what was desired. The Lord answered through the angel, 'Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God.' God heard the prayers of Cornelius before he had accepted Christ. God always hears those who are ready to hear him, but he refuses to hear those who refuse to hear him. Proverbs 28 and verse 9. But God's answer was quite different from that which many under similar circumstances are now taught to expect. The angel did not tell Cornelius that his sins were already forgiven, or that he was already saved, but directed him to send for Peter, who would tell him words whereby he might be saved. The appearance of this angel was not a dream. It occurred when Cornelius was engaged in prayer about the ninth hour, or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Peter was lodging with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. The angel gave minute directions as to where Peter could be found. Having given these directions, the angel departed. Cornelius at once called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually, and having rehearsed all things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. The devout soldier was a Gentile, an Italian, and Peter was convinced. Cornelius forthwith sent these men. On the morrow after they started on their journey, they drew nigh unto Joppa. While these men were on their way for Peter, God was preparing Peter to go to them. Hence, the next step in the conversion of Cornelius is Peter's going. Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, that is, about noon. Peter was devout, and his example here is worthy of our emulation. He felt the need of prayer, of regular prayer, and prayed. It became the hour for the noonday meal, and Peter became hungry. And while the good people of the house were preparing the meal, he fell into a trance. Peter saw heaven opened, and a great sheet let down by four corners upon the earth. This sheet hung by the four corners, and suspended by the four corners by cords, made the vessel which contained all manner of four-footed beasts, and creeping things of the earth, and birds of the heaven. With this sheet came a voice from heaven, saying, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Although this was a vision, Peter felt the force of hunger, but resisted the temptation to eat anything unclean, saying, "Not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean." Under the law of Moses, certain birds and beasts were unclean, and the Jews were forbidden to eat them. You can read about these restrictions yourself in Leviticus chapter 11 and in Deuteronomy chapter 14. But again the voice came, and in response to Peter said, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." Under Christ, the restriction from eating animals had been removed. Romans 14:14, 1 Corinthians 10:25-33. But under Christ, we are commanded to abstain from the pollutions of idols and from fornications and from what was strangled and from blood. Acts 15, verses 20 and verse 29. At this time, Peter did not know this and would not do what he considered wrong. But now Peter must learn that what God had cleansed and offered to him, he must accept. Or what God had accepted, he must not reject. This was done three times. That is, the sheet was lowered and drawn up three times, and then it was received up into heaven. Some think this was done three times to correspond with the three messengers sent by Cornelius. But quite often, God would repeat a vision or repeat a dream so that the one seeing that vision or dreaming that dream would know this was no ordinary thing, but this was indeed a message from God. While Peter thought on the vision and was unable to decide what its meaning could be, the messenger sent by Cornelius approached the gate and called for him. Still meditating upon the vision and rendering what could be its purport, the Spirit informed Peter that the three men sought him and instructed him to go with them, saying, "Go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent thee." The message of the holy angel, the vision of Peter, and the command of the Spirit to go thoroughly convinced Peter that he should preach the gospel to the Gentiles. He lodged the messengers overnight and sent them out on the morrow with six Jewish brethren for Caesarea, which he reached on the fourth day after the appearance of the angels, and found Cornelius, his kinsmen and near friends, waiting for him. Declaring that Cornelius, who, falling before him, should not worship him, Peter went in, explaining that hitherto it had been considered unlawful for a Jew to come into one of another nation, but that God had sworn shown him that he should call no man common or unclean, and that, therefore, he had come without gainsaying, and asked, "With what intent have you sent me?" Well, Cornelius explained why he sent for Peter. Cornelius related his experience to Peter in explaining as to why he'd sent for him, and said, "Now, therefore, we are all here present in the sight of God, to hear all things that have been committed to thee of the Lord." This last statement shows that all present realized that they were in the presence of God, that what Peter had to relate was a message from God, and that they were ready to do all that God commands them to do through Peter. Let's look at the explanatory notes on this text. Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35. "And Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is acceptable to him.' The Jews thought God was partial to them. But Peter now sees this as a mistake. He understands now that one does not have to become a Jew in order to serve God, but every nation that feareth him and worketh righteousness is acceptable to him. God respects character, not persons. He was never a respecter of persons. He gives the following as his reason for accepting Abraham: 'For I know him, to the end that he may command his children and his household after him, and that they may keep the way of Jehovah, that Jehovah may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him.'" Genesis 18 and 19. When the Jews rejected the truth, God cast them off and will graft in any if they continue not in unbelief. Romans 11, 19 through 24. The Gentiles were rejected because, well, knowing God, they glorified him not as God. Romans 1, 18 through 32. Two things are essential, namely, to fear God and to work righteousness. To fear God is to obey him, and to work righteousness is to discharge all our duties to our fellow men. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and all need salvation. And God loves all. Christ died for all, and all must be saved alike through Christ. We'll read in Acts chapter 10, verses 36 through 40. "The word which he had sent unto the children of Israel, preaching good tidings of peace by Jesus Christ," he's Lord of all, "that saying, ye yourselves know, was published throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached, even Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And ye are witnesses of these things which he did, both in this country and of the Jews, and in Jerusalem, whom also they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day, and gave him to be made manifest." Returning to Elam's notes, we see the gospel was first preached to the Jews, and this order was maintained by the apostles, Acts 13:46. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and the gospel is the gospel of peace. It breaks down the middle wall or partition between Jew and Gentile. Peter sees this as never before. Jesus is indeed, as Peter ejaculated in his words, the Lord of all Jews and Gentiles. Cornelius had heard of Jesus, his preaching, his miracles, his death, his resurrection. He had heard how God appointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. Under the law of Moses, prophets, priests, and kings were anointed with anointing oil. Jesus was anointed to be prophet, priest and king. Christ means anointed.